Okie dokie. Good evening, everyone. Is there anybody on frequency with emergency or priority traffic? This is W2TTT. Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. We'll be using the call sign K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo tonight. Anyone is welcome to participate in the net, whether or not they're a Barra member, as long as they're licensed in the amateur radio 2-meter band in these here United States. Net's a little different than other nets you might inhabit. We want you to check in no matter what. If you can hear it, we want to hear from you, even if it's just to let us know you're there. And we'll do that in a roll call kind of way. The purpose of the net, just so you know, is to discuss amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, things in our society that use those things, which means you pretty much can talk about anything you want if you really put your mind to it and frame the question correctly. And all things considered, it's pretty free-flowing. It's a very eclectic net, good stuff. We'll have a D-Star demonstration at the top of the net after we do a check-in, and we'll kind of go from there. So, check-in. Let's talk about how we do that. Alrighty, the check-in's process is pretty simple. You give your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. We do, as I say, want you to check in, even if you have nothing from your perspective to add. So, with that in mind, let's get to it. Stations whose call signs begin with Kilo, followed by the number 2. Please go call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
This is K2AMI, checking in with probably just a comment.
Nope. I got the Tony guy with a comment. Good evening, Tony. And who was the station who doubled with Tony?
K2DSL, David, nothing at this time.
Okay, David, very fine. Good evening to you, sir. And any other Kilo 2s?
This is Kilo 2, Zulu Oscar. No questions or comments at this time.
Wow. Hi, Jim. No question or comment. Very good. K2ZO's in. Who else for the Kilo 2s? All right, nothing in the Kilo 2 category. Any other Kilos?
KC2SKL, the name here is Kelly. No questions, just supporting the net.
Hey, Kelly. Good evening to you, ma'am. Good to hear you. All righty, I think this is, I don't think it's your first time in this net, but it may be. Just trying to think now. I'm actually doing the net mobile, but I'm parked right now front of my house, because once we get conversational, I'll transition over where I got to pick up my older son. He's taking a course tonight, so I got to scoot him up. But once we get the roll squared away, we'll deal with that. So, any other Kilos? Alrighty. How about any November stations? Please call K2BAR. Your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, both or none of the above, please call K2BAR.
This is
RT Charlie. No questions, no comments yet.
Okay, so I have out of that N3CRT. No questions or comments. I also have NS2K, but I don't know what your preferences are, Mr. Jim. Please go.
NS2K. I suppose I could make a comment at this point. Yeah, at some point. But probably after Tony. Anyway, talk to you shortly. NS2K.
Roger. No problem. We'll get that comment in there. No problem whatsoever. I say we have a little demo at the top of the net. Alrighty. Any other Novembers?
This is N2OEL. With one question that will provoke lots of discussion.
That's pretty much your MO there, buddy. Good to hear you, Noel. I have your question so loaded. Alrighty, any other Novembers? Okay. Let's see. How about those ever popular whiskey stations?
This is Whiskey 2, Charlie Hotel, Ray in White Plains. No comments or questions yet. Good evening.
Evening, Ray. Okay, very good. And to Charlie Hotel. W2 Charlie Hotel. Pardon me. That's great. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
This is W2JEK Don. No comment or question.
Very good. By the way, Don, I had a nice conversation on the phone today with Steve, fellow who lives across town from you, about your QRP contact. Turns out you were contact number 3. His personal was the station in Ontario, who was mobile, and he figured the guy was on his way to work and pulled over to send CW. And I said, what was he doing? He says, on his way to the hospital because he was the on-call ER doctor. I said, no, he was in motion. And he was like, really? I had to explain to him how mobile CW works and head copying. He was like mystified. Anyway, I thought you'd like that. All right, any other whiskeys?
This is WE2R. No questions or comments.
Good evening, Charlie. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys? How about those ever popular Alpha stations? Brady? Any other stations who just perhaps didn't get a chance to check in on the first go-around, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above.
K2ZC, Dave, no questions, no comments.
Okay, K2Zulu, Charlie, very good. Alrighty. Nice to hear you, David. I'll record you in here. Gentleman I was referring to, by the way, had a,
N2AIH.
Alright, what you're hearing in the background is N2AIH.
It's going real good. I saw you,
another fellow.
He's a little connected, so I figured
I'd call. He's using D-Star from his home.
Actually, I called you a little
bit. No radio.
Yeah.
I was wondering how well can you hear that, NS2K, how does that sound?
Actually, it's kind of hard to tell who is saying what with both of you talking at the same time. Although, the voice is very crisp coming over D-Star.
Yeah, really is. Tell what you listen for a second.
But it's
got to
feel good when it's done. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it takes a lot of pressure off of me. I mean, I still have a mortgage on that place. Gives me a little more freedom. So, that's a good thing. So, anyway, you mentioned that you put a jumper on the repeater or something?
I'm not going to be able to break in easily. All right. And that's because I've got too many radios in one place without the right antenna combination. But just to explain what was going on there, because a bunch of us had a D-Star demonstration recently. Basically, what was going on is that Mark is using a laptop in his shack. Well, he's listening on 75 meters. He's also listening on a D-Star, a thing called a DV dongle. So think about it like Echo Link. He's got a microphone and a headset attached to a little USB device that puts the right encoding stream into an IP packet stream, and he sends his packets wherever he wants in the D-Star network. In this case, he's sending it to a reflector, which is like a super host. Imagine like a big mirror that everybody sends their data to, and then it echoes it back to any number of stations, including other things called DV dongles, to repeaters, and also to what they call hotspots. In my case, you're hearing it over the radio, and my radio is connected to, well, my antenna is home. This is my radio at home, mind you. My radio at home is, well, actually, let me start off here. I've got a handy ducky here that's a D-Star HT. It's listening across 2 meters on 145.42, which you can listen to. If you want to tune it up while we're listening, you can listen to it with a second receiver on 145.42. And you'll hear it. And basically, that radio is connected to a modem, which is then connected to a laptop via a USB port and out onto the internet to that same reflector that Mark's talking to. So he's talking to a guy who happens to be on the radio somewhere else, but all these machines are tied to a reflector that basically just echoes the data, in this case voice, although it could be positional data, it could be information, text messages, file transfers, or whatever, out onto the internet. And very cool. So, I won't bore you guys with that, but what's nice about the D-Star stuff is that you can send data and voice on every transmission, or if you don't have any voice to send, you can just send the data part, and it will slide in between other people's voice transmissions. It's very cool. So, any questions or comments about this, about my hotspot or the TV dongle or using a D-Star radio?
S2K.
And S2K go.
Well, I'm kind of curious, why do we need a DB dongle to plug into our Mac or Apple or PC to do protocols or encoding, since that's one thing that PCs tend to be pretty good at?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked. The purpose of the DB dongle is to use a particular kind of digital encoding, which is proprietary, unfortunately, but well available, which is good, called AMBE, AMBE it's called. And so what it does is it takes the analog stuff, digitizes it, and then encodes that digitized sample in a particular way, adds a data stream to the voice data stream, merges them together, puts forward error correction on it, jams them into IP packets through your PC, and then add onto the internet. If you don't have the radio does all that at once, it sends an FM carrier and streams AMB frames, if you will, out over the air as long as you're talking. And those AMB frames can have both your voice components as well as your data components included. Does that answer your question?
Okay, so it's using a proprietary codec and compression scheme that at that point, I suppose, because they're doing it internally, makes it OS insensitive. But it still seems kind of weird that they're doing something sufficiently magical that it can't be done almost trivially in the, in the PC itself.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. There are people who have reverse engineered that encoding, and they have varying levels of success in doing so. The problem is that it's a patentable thing. So that's the bad news. I mean, the JARL picked this encoding scheme. And I'll be honest, if we ran our network, our D-Star network, the way the Japanese run it, I wouldn't be buying the radio. But because we have reflectors and things like that, that have kind of superseded the JARL and Japanese MIDI kind of blessed method of, funny tongues here. MIDI, MITI, the Ministry of Industry and Trade, Ministry of Industry, Trade, International? I think that's what it is. Yeah, or International Trade and Industry. I'm sorry, Ministry of International Trade and Industry. I'm sorry. Getting my languages screwed up here. but that's what MIDI stands for, when anglicized. But you're right. Unfortunately, that's the downside. The plus side is that you have a very reliable codec that has both, you know, voice and data and forward error correction all built into it, and it allows you a narrower bandwidth than FM with which to do this. In fact, it's a 4800 stream. They call it 96, but in point of fact, it's a 4800 stream, and it's compressed like heck. So it sits in a 6.25 kilohertz bandwidth, as opposed to what we do with FM, which is a bit broader.
This is Stuart, KC2SQP, K2VAR. Can you hear me?
Stuart, we'll take your checking in. Will you have a question or comment for the net later?
I'll have a question later. Thank you.
Problem, we'll get to you. Okay. Well, anyway, I just thought that this would be kind of fun to play with. And in my case, I have a GPS microphone, and so I can also communicate my position in real time. And one of the next things, my next project, besides the hotspot at home, is a 430 megahertz hotspot, and note what frequency range I said it was going to be in, a 430 megahertz hotspot, so that I can basically take, it's going to be a mobile hotspot, so wherever you see my van, you'll have access to a D-Star network. You'll also have access to Wi-Fi. Let me explain what that project's about. I've had for years a cell modem, and I got a new one recently that cost me $6 because that's how much the taxes are in New Jersey, part of my plan extension. And so it's going to get plugged into a standard Wi-Fi router. The back of the Wi-Fi router is going to have both hardwire ports and Wi-Fi. So you'll have the ability to have a Wi-Fi connectivity within a couple hundred feet of my van, especially once they put the external antenna up. And then, on top of that, you will have plugged into it a ruggedized PC that's set up for autoboot. They'll be running the hotspot software and another hotspot, another hotspot modem like I just talked about, and then a UHF radio, which will be probably operating in like the 5-watt category, something like that, unless there's a need to run it higher. Might even be running lower at times. But the bottom line is that it will be available. It'll have standby power, which means it'll run literally forever. It'll be able to run for a week or so without having to be charged in any way, and that's not likely in my world. That's going to be the mobile hotspot project. This 2-meter hotspot, we're hoping to relocate to a better position, but if anyone is listening, if anyone wants to take a listen on 145.42, I can, I'll drop this and I'll make a transmission on the net and see if anybody wants to hear what ambient coded D-Star sounds like over the over an FM receiver. You can listen on 145.42. Let's see. So who has the anybody else have any questions or comments? All right, the guys are talking on 145.42. So go ahead and listen there if you want. You'll hear stuff. This is what the audio sounds like on this side. Wait for them to talk again. Hang on. They're not talking yet. Stand by. Don't talk again. Sorry. I'm wiping out the signal here. So, oh well. Sometimes I desense the other radio. But anyway, you get the idea. You'll have to listen on directly on the air. All right. Are we all back? Any other questions about D-Star? I think Tony and I, no, actually no, Gene and I are the only ones, WE2HID and I are the only ones in the area who have D-Star radios up and working. Anybody else? Hey, well, if anyone needs help setting up on D-Star or getting curious, they want to know what they can and cannot do, what they should and should not do, and, you know, want advice to be on their different requirements, let me know. I'll be more than happy to give you advice. All sorts of pluses and minuses are good. I actually found an IC-880 repackaged, but from a responsible vendor with a normal warranty for $400. And so it's imagine a dual band mobile, 50-watt mobile for $400. That's not terribly expensive when you consider where some of the stuff has been in price in the past. So, with that in mind, we'll see if there's anybody else who wants to talk about the subject. If not, we'll move on to the next one. Yeah, let's do the K2AMI announcements.
The K2AMI with announcements. You got a copy on me there? Okay, Gordon?
25, old man. Or young man.
Right the first time. Okay, this is the VHF contest weekend for all those who haven't paid attention. And Barrow will be operating a VHF contest, rain or snow or sleet or darkness at night. Probably a little bit of thunder, but hopefully no too much rain. We will be operating the contest up at Orange Town on top of Colson Mountain at a Nike base. We'll be meeting at the garage in Dumont at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. And by 9 o'clock, we'll have a U-Haul truck there. And we'll load up the truck and head up to the hill, unload, and set up two towers, set up some tents, and set up four VHF stations. And hopefully, we'll be able to work between the raindrops. The weather forecast that I see today and yesterday and so far says scattered showers. Let's hope that same scattered showers is not like they once predicted snow flurries in New Jersey. So let's hope we get through the weekend with a minimum amount of rain. And we'll shut everything down probably 3 or 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and put it all away by 5 o'clock. So it's a fun weekend. It's an overnight stay in Colson Mountain for those who can stay. And hopefully we'll be able to make some points and make some contacts. I have some more, but I want to drop it right now. Those who don't do contesting, but will be sitting home by their FM radio, find us on 146.580 Simplex with no tone, and we'll be listening on there from time to time. Now, if you give one call and we don't come back, don't give up. We'll be back. There's lots of activity going on. The 2-meter radio is not our high priority operating radio. We will be operating sideband for most of the contest, but we will be jumping to 146.580 once in a while, and maybe we'll be able to catch you. I hate to set a schedule because nobody can keep the schedule, but try when you can, and if you miss this, try again. That's the one frequency that I think everybody has. Let me drop it. If we get a 2-meter 440 radio up there, and I think we might, then it's 446-000. 446-000 is the Simplex FM 440 frequency that we may also be operating on. And if you have any 220 equipment, it's 223-500 Simplex. 223-500 on the 220 band. And again, these frequencies are not our primary operating frequencies, but we will be there from time to time. Try to find us and give us a point. Okay, back to you, Gordon, for any questions or comments.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. So, would anyone like to make any questions or comments? I'm going to try to get up there Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening if all works out. I'm just trying to work the schedule, as it were. Jeremy's got a hockey game. Oh, damn. Well, maybe late on Saturday then. It's probably late on Saturday is what I'm going to be doing. So, anyway, anybody have any questions for Tony?
Mr. K.
Thank you.
Well, the suggestion here is if we get rained up by some chance, we better have a picnic real soon, because I got food up the kazoo here.
Okay. I understand. That is an important consideration. There are some ideas here we could do. You could fold it into kit night.
Yeah, that would be funny, doing a picnic on kit night.
Why not?
I have more food than that. I'm going to have to invite the whole neighborhood.
I have a solution. If perchance there's a problem with the weather, everybody meets at the Red Cross at 5 o'clock on Sunday?
Well, except that's liable to be when it actually starts. I don't know. I think there's a higher chance of rain on Sunday late than otherwise.
I was just trying to help you get rid of your food. So if you get blown off the mountain before Sunday afternoon and you have leftover food, we'll just put the word out that it's party time at the Red Cross at 5 o'clock, say, or 4 o'clock, even if you want it.
Break. Hey, Tony.
Tony.
Realize that across the parking lot from Red Cross is Whole Foods, and they don't believe in things like hot dogs and other sort of things that we might be eating. I don't think that's a good place to show off our menu.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Well, my son just got a 96 on his section. He wants to check in too. Okay. Hold on. When we take roll call. This is excellent. So, yeah, he got a 96 on his section test for his EMT course that he's in. So that's okay. That's good. All right. Well, the fact that Whole Foods doesn't offer what we're looking for doesn't mean that we can't, as a private party on an adjacent lot, have a private party with our food. I mean, we're not required to buy from them, are we?
I think Tony was being funny, but you didn't get that part.
I did. I'm just busting back.
Maybe have a review of the whole problem here, and I don't know what the complete menu is, but Jim, do you have a complete menu yet?
Not complete, but I have the hot dogs, the hamburgers, buns. I still need to get a few onions and peppers and various things, a few tomatoes. I don't know, a couple dozen eggs. It's a fair amount of stuff.
Give the people the plate and operate till Sunday. Your eggs, does that mean like there's breakfast?
We always serve breakfast.
I'm going to see what the schedule is, but Jeremy's got a hockey game early in the evening, but I think my only concern is I will not be the only operator there overnight. That's just bogus.
Not only do I have a couple dozen eggs, I have quite a bit of, I'll call it kosher sausage, oinky sausage, and, you know, various things. Yeah, it's something with a little spice in it, however. And I do have some, objectionable, from a certain perspective, pulled pork for another meal. We need to sort out exactly when we serve what.
Okie doke. Well, keep in mind that 2 meal days in 2 weeks, too, guys, but so there'll be more time to eat. James is actually wanting to come, Jim, but he's got an EMT test on Sunday, so he can't do that. So, or EMT class all day, I think. Anyway, anybody else have any questions about the VHF contest?
What time do we eat?
Continuously.
The show we eat.
All right, so and you know better. So here's my question. What time, pardon me, who are the operators so far that are planning to be there, let's say, between 10 p.m. and, let's say, 8 a.m.?
K2DSL.
Yeah, you will be there?
Yes.
Okay, anybody else?
K2ZETA.
You doing the overnight? Is that, oh, you, Jim, you're doing the overnight?
I don't know if I'll do the overnight, but just as long as there's food, I'll stay.
Okay, that means, Mr. Jackson, will you be there overnight?
Probably not, but I don't bring the food back with me, you know. I also have a great huge bag of organic little baby carrots, a big thing of cherries. I don't know, it just goes on and on.
Cherries were very popular last year.
Otherwise, operating is the pits. Okay, so question, are we bringing our own headsets and, you know, like, are we hooking into Heil standards? Is there a straight key at every position, things like that? I assume we have... the other question I had is, each of the four positions that have single slide NCW, are they... you know, one-stop shopping, in other words, hit mic or hit key and everything works, or do we have to nip one up roll two and pat our bellies while we're transmitting?
Hey, Tony, am I?
Yes, Tony.
That question as well as I can, but for the most part, most of the patients will have foot pedals that will operate, transmit, and the one trop on the foot pedal should put out power of the antennas. There'll be Heil headset supply that at some of the locations, but if you have a queasiness about using somebody else's Heil headset, then it's your problem. I don't use Heil headsets. I have another headset that's universal. And I don't use a footstep. I use a push-to-talk button on a microphone on my 220 station, but 220 is not a high-volume operation, so it doesn't work well at that frequency. But on 6 meters, on 2 meters, I'm pretty sure there'll be Heil headsets with the foot pedals, and the same thing with the 2-meter station.
All right. Well, so my question is, if I hit a key, do I need to also hit the foot switch?
Are you having flashbacks?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the failure was that caused that problem. There was something wrong, whether it was a sequencer or what, I don't remember.
No. Nothing blew up for me. No. It drove me crazy to have to hit a foot switch and then hit a Morse code key. That made me absolutely berserk.
Which station was that?
220.
Still, 220 is not as refined as you are asking for. You may have to coordinate your physical being and doing two things at once. Don't chew gum at the same time, though.
All right. The reason why it drove me crazy is because I set myself up overnight to operate 222 and 432 at the same time, and that was very difficult when you had to remember a different set of motions in order to make that thing work when you're trying to do two things at once. And trust me, in the middle of the night, you really want to do two things at once, because otherwise you fall asleep, you get bored. All right, fair enough, but, you know, I will adapt and overcome, but man, ouch. All right, anybody else have any questions?
$200 for that DV dongle? Whoa.
Yeah, I know. That's why, well, I mean, the DV dongle is not a bad way to go. It really isn't. I just said the heck with it. You know, when I got rid of my 6-meter amplifier, I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to go for the gusto and buy a radio and a hotspot board and the rest and the rest I had, so it was easy.
Graham, I have a question.
Go ahead, Tony.
We have sideband, we have FM, we have CW, we've got all kinds of digital modes. We have packet, we have Echolink, we have other computer-generated systems. Why do we have to spend $1,000 to operate a new mode that is partially used at this time?
Well, I think part of it is evolution, meaning that the prices have started to fall. The latest, as I said, the latest radios from ICOM, Handy Talkies, are in the $400 range, which is only a little bit more than a THF6, and, you know, which, while it's not a tri-band radio, it's a dual-band radio, and that's not bad. So they're starting to narrow. There's a $400 dual-band 50-watt radio, which, again, I've seen the 880 cost that, and that's comparably priced, maybe a hair more than the analog. So if you add in a TNC, then, you know, you're pretty much in the same ballpark. A new TNC, you know, because, again, there's not a lot of used gear out there, but there's some. So, you know, Tony, it's not as outrageous as it used to be, and it's not as outrageous as it will be. So, I mean, your point's well taken, but, if you factor in that it does data as well as voice, as voice both FM and digital, and you don't have to buy a TNC. I mean, let me give you an example. If I buy a DR-435, an Alinco radio, I spend $300 and some odd for that thing, for just a 440 radio. If I buy the modem, it's another $200. So, and having bought the modem, I know that. Well, actually, it was $130 when I bought it, but it's $200 now. So, for the TNC. So, in the big picture, it really is comparably priced. It depends on what kind of gear you're used to. I mean, sure, if it's a DR-135, it's $140 or something, with another, let's say, $200 for a TNC, an internal TNC. But, you know, you're still over $300 and you only have a 2-meter rig with a TNC. So, again, you know, it's not as outrageous now as it was, and it's not as outrageous as comparable things. And I would even argue that might even be better performing. God knows you can do some more interesting things with it.
I guess that I'm an older person. I have less technical knowledge concerning digital things, and I am not going to get involved with more digital things I don't understand. And that might be the problem with us aging hands who are reluctant to branch out in that direction. Obviously, it's a technological improvement, and there'll be a lot of technological flag-waving saying, hey, look what we can do. But I don't know that it's something that's useful. For instance, if the internet goes down, what do? Except point-to-point communications with the radio system. It is not an emergency or an EOM operation that I can see for a disaster, unless you can prove to me otherwise. I think it's going to be very limited in its use, and it'll be the techies who will get the most involved in it. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think what I'm starting to see is I'm starting to see guys who were the PSK-31 crowd and the packet crowd formerly getting involved. And I would argue that you're probably right, that at first you find only the real techies doing it. But I've seen some guys who aren't particularly technical. I don't want to name names, but some of the guys who spoke to us about D-Star at the Fairlawn seminar, some of those guys are marginally technical. I would rank you head and shoulders over several of them on any number of areas. As far as late adopters, or should we say older adopters, the same thing happened when Spark went to CW, when CW went to phone, when AM phone went to sideband, when sideband went to FM. Why do I need this? Blah, blah, blah. I can talk to people. I don't need FM. I can remember guys in my lifetime writing editorial, you know, letters to magazines like QSD and CQ and 73, wherein they said, why do I need 2 meter FM? I have 160 meters or 75 meters to talk to my neighbor across town. And they literally said that.
I'm sure it's been said. And then parallels can be drawn to the technology that's coming out now, but I'm sorry, but I don't see a place for an additional digital system at this point, but I'm not forward-looking as you are. So you are more involved with digital item operations, and we'll get involved with more digital operations than I would ever do in my lifetime. Anybody else with comments, I'd like to hear their opinion. This is K2AMI.
K2JK.
John?
I think one thing with this, it's not compatible with the FM rigs we have now. I mean, yes, you may have a ability to use FM with these radios and that have the D-Star in them, but basically the D-Star is there as an add-on for the digital stuff. But, you know, there are thousands of people out there that have these regular FM radios, and they're not... you know, you're limited to line of sight, basically, on what they can do. And maybe a sideband radio that's running a kilowatt with a 20-element beam can reach out a little further from a mountaintop like we do in the contest. But for normal operations, there's sort of line of sight with these radios. They're not going to go out to, not going to work somebody in California with them unless you go... not with the radio as such, maybe through internet contact or something like that, but that can be done. I can do that here with my 6 meter on the Millennium Net on Wednesday nights. They have they set up with the EchoLink set up there, but that's not radio, in my opinion. It's got to be what people say. There's not many people out there that have them. I think that's that's the thing. As an example, at the Hamfest, there was a fellow, Tom Pereira, W1CP, had an Enigma machine that's sitting there on his display with a big price tag on it. But what actually could you do with this thing? Unless you I don't think there are that many Enigma machines around that, you know, you could put make contact with one Enigma machine to another. That is if the FCC allowed you to use coded coding, which they don't. Something like that, to me, is like buying these bottles of wine that were made in the 1700s and auctioning them off at some fantastic price. And what is the usefulness of that? But this does have some usefulness, but there's only a very few people that have the currently have this proprietary form of communication. And if ICOM doesn't sell enough of them, maybe they'll stop it at some time. That's another thing you got to think about. But that's back to that, W2JK.
Okay, well, yeah, there's some issues over the MB codec, and there have been some assurances made to the JARL and to the amateur radio community in general about that. So that in itself is, I think, been addressed, although it was a concern as recently as a few years ago. You asked a good question, or you raised a good point, Tony, about the dependency on the Internet. And boy, that is true. But having said that, there are now guys who are taking that information and putting it through private routers, linking them together with their own links that are either D-Star or other systems, but not the public Internet, to tie systems together, tie routers together, and to make a web. If you look at the mesh network stuff, that's probably one noticeable example where the guys are taking Linksys routers and other routers and putting proprietary code in them to allow networking over a broader range, and using that as a backbone within a community. Sometimes they're using a pair of dedicated D-Star radios, or as I say, other radios, to tie them together across longer distances. So there is a sensitivity to that, even to the point where also what would happen if the reflector on the Internet went away? Can you put up a private reflector? And the answer is yes, and you can do it for both data modes as well as voice and data, depending on how much bandwidth you have to play with. If you think about it, the way a reflector works, at least right now, you send 1 5-second of voice up to the reflector, and if there are 10 other people associated with that reflector, that means that 5 seconds of reflected stuff has to be repeated 10 times. So there'll be obviously some protocol enhancements to deal with that, using multicast protocols and things like that. So there's some software development to be done. I mean, some of it's being done with some of it's being done with RTP and RTCP and some other protocols. Needless to say, supporting multicast across a network infrastructure and doing it efficiently is going to be critical, because we are bandwidth limited due to the fact that we're paying for our bits to be moved across our own private networks. A lot of this stuff, by the way, is what I call the, and why I'm interested in it. Years ago, when I was very much involved in packet radio, and some of you remember those days, and I'd be going out and trying to get guys to get on packet, I argued that we needed to build a backbone network, almost on an AMSAT-like scale, to do that. And I wanted the AWL to sponsor it, or some other groups to do it. That didn't happen for a whole lot of reasons, mostly that before people could get on the same page about that, the landline Internet sucked away a lot of that need as it was perceived at the time. Well, now we've got major portions of our society on the Internet, and we're recognizing that that needs to be backed up. So we're back to that same question from 25 years ago, which I'm finding rather amusing. So, or 25 plus years ago, make it 30 years ago, let me just say straight up, 30 years ago, this question was raised, and I wrote lots of material on this subject, and started to actually shift some of my protocol suggestions as to what we should be using to address that question, including multicast protocols, by the way. So, anyway, we can end my rants here. Anybody else have any comments before we move on? Yeah, well, I did want to just raise that one point, because I thought Tony's point was very well founded and very reasonably well concerned, and ultimately will need to be addressed by the amateur community. So, with that in mind, do we have any other check-ins before we move in?
Do you have a comment?
Go ahead, Jim.
I spoke with W2ML earlier this evening. He's home and doing well. least there's some chance. Now, I don't hold much, but he says he would like to try to make breakfast tomorrow. Now, I wouldn't bet very much money on that, but anyway, I'll be there. At least that's my current plan. I'm actually taking tomorrow off to continue and expand on the preparation for the weekend's extravaganza. Anyway, back to NS2K.
Okay, and that was the comment you wanted to make before?
That was one of them.
Okay, let me check in, then I'll send it right back to you. Then we'll do the last question and Stewart's question, and we'll see where we are. So, any other check-ins for the NAP, please call K2BAR with your questions, comments, confusions, both or none of the above.
Two SQV net checking in. Say hi, flip of the finger there. I just wanted to say hello. No questions, just really interested in learning more about this D-Star stuff, more about how it works, and maybe using a bit of it myself, and see how it can be improved in the near future. KC2SQV.
Okie doke. So James, you're in. Good evening. He's right here, by the way. James was commenting about the clarity the other night when one of my radios squawked on my hip in the living room. He goes, "What the hell is that?" And I'll let the rest of the story go to another day and let him tell it. But anyway, let's see. Our next question, our next one is a comment from NS2K. Yes, sir.
I think I got most of my licks in here already. Primarily the comment about the contest this weekend and the state of Mr. Mendelson.
Yeah, the state of the Mendelson. Yes. We have the state of the Union, we have the state of the Mendelson. All right, very good. But he doesn't think hockey's a sport, so we're not sure we really want to talk to him right now. By the way, isn't it great what the Blackhawks did to the Philadelphia Flyers last night? Anyway, that was broadcast, therefore that was technical, therefore that my comment was within scope. All right, having said that, the Flyers still suck, and it's a beautiful thing. Anyway, on that note, N2OEL, your question, sir, K2BAR.
Well, before the
cast
question, we should talk about this weekend. They're running late on fixing the RV. GXYL is afraid to drive it. They said they'll be ready late tomorrow afternoon, or I can pick it up Saturday morning. So I could convince somebody to take me to Demarest. I'll pick it up there and take it straight up to the Nike base. That's what I have to say about that. It's got... I believe Tony's planning to use it for a station. It, of course, has air conditioning and heat and all other happy stuff. It's not as big as George's. It's a full-size E-250, basically a van.
Sounds big enough for six.
A shower, a kitchen stove, a refrigerator. Now on to my question. How much wire do you need to wire a rig? What I should say is what gauge of wire? And I have two upcoming situations. Number one, a distance of about 8 foot running a 25 watt sideband radio. Distance number two, about 18 feet out back running a conventional 100 watt solid state rig on sideband, and it is my intention to put a 2 farad capacitor next to the radio to handle those little peaks. That's the trick that the gentlemen in the cars with these very, very, very loud amplifiers do. They put a large capacitor right next to the amplifier. So when they hit those high drops, they can put out several hundred watts, much more than the battery can actually put out without much sag. So that was my intention. The only reason this came up is I mentioned to somebody that at the recent flea market I bought 50 feet of 8-gauge two-wire red and black. And the comment was made this may not be heavy enough. Back to that, this is Ed Royal.
Okay. I was the one who made the comment. my question is really based on your distance. You say it's 18 feet from the power source to the load. And one thing you have to remember about DC is you mentioned that you measure the circuit resistance, the loop resistance. So therefore, it's not 18 feet, it's 36 feet. So the question is, look at the cross-section, well, look at the per-foot resistance, or distance per 100 feet, that'll probably be more scalable, of number 8, and calculate the voltage drop. Keep in mind that you have stranded, which means it's going to be a little higher than if you're running DC, not AC. So, that's what to keep in mind. So, with that in mind, anybody else want to make some comments?
Mr. K.
Jim, go right ahead.
Well, the other little detail is that it's 12 volts and not 100 and whatever volts. So every volt that you drop is a lot. So, if you're running any kind of power at all, yeah, you need fairly substantial copper, regardless.
Yes, Julio. Hello. Well, the question is 8-gauge, fairly substantial copper, or since I have 50 foot, I could actually run parallel wires, too, so that would be approximately equivalent to a 6-gauge. Going to the HF grid. Back in that sense, William.
Alrighty, anybody want to comment on his configuration? Now we know more.
Mr. JK.
Ed.
I'm wondering why you're locating the power supply so far away from the radio. I have one here sitting on my desk and next to the radio, and the reason that you're having those things so far apart.
That simple. The power supply is two 12-volt batteries going into a device that takes the voltage and puts out a constant 13.8 volts. It's two 12-volt batteries in series. So you have approximately half the current draw, which means you'll get a longer battery life. If you put the two 12-volt batteries in parallel, if one battery was slightly better than the other, it would tend to produce most of the current and run down faster, and it's not as good as two in series for most cases of this nature. So the batteries and the converter are located behind the driver's seat, underneath one of the seats that would be used for the dining room in the motorhome. Because I know the XYL is going to be a little bit funny about me being in the same room while she's trying to sleep, it's my intention to run the wires to the back where there's a closet and put it in there. And when it comes time to operate at night when we're out in the woods and the XYL is trying to sleep, I'm going to close the bathroom door, which, because even though the distance from A to B is not that far, it would be 8 feet as the crow would walk. The problem is you have to go under, around, across, up, and so forth. That's why I'm figuring about 18 feet. Back in that end tool, yep.
If we comment that your signal's in the toilet, you'll be able to explain why.
What was your comment?
If we suggest to you your signal's in the toilet, you'll be able to explain why.
As did the Pete many years ago, about 25 years ago, he was making a comment when I happened to be in the men's room with my HT at Montclair State College, and I forget what he said exactly, but I put my HT down to the ball, keyed it, and flushed.
Who was commenting that you responded in this manner?
K2MHP back then.
No explanation from here is required. Okay. Anybody else have a more serious comment about Noel's issue?
KO2.
Welcome, Bennett. Go ahead.
Hey, Noel. Noel, there's a good website. I'm going to send you an email on a paragraph from it and then also the link to the website. And it's k0bg.com. And he dedicated a whole website of his to radio installation in the mobile application. So they have a good section there on wiring and size of wiring you should use and that kind of stuff. So I'll send that to you and you can read through it, okay?
Okay, I just went to k0bg.com. Thank you.
K0BG is a marvelous resource for this. But, you know, your capacitor is going to help, but I got to tell you, you know, bigger is better.
2JK.
Don?
Yeah, one time my father had a Harvey Wells transmitter in the car, and that was in the trunk. Of course, the battery in the car was up front. This was in a 1948 Chrysler sedan. And apparently there was quite a bit of voltage drop for the filaments from the battery going back to the radio itself. My father bought some welding cable. Well, you imagine that stuff was real thick, and he was going to install that and reduce the voltage drop because that was a 6-volt system in those days. I never got around to it, and right now those welding cables are in the back of my car. I'm using them as jumper cables. But, yeah, that's a lot of ways to skin the cat. You could double up on the copper, as they say, use parallel wires. Probably wouldn't hurt either. If you have the wire, use it. Probably not going to do anything for you. Just sit around the cellar hanging on a hook someplace if you don't use it. So that's a possibility for you. And good luck with it anyhow. Back to that, W2JK.
Okay. So here's just a side question. How many people here besides Don and at least one other person who I know, so I won't mention at this point, have ever used a Harvey Wells transmitter?
I have.
That you'd be the other one I'm thinking of. Anybody else? Well, I'm the third one. It was one of the transmitters. The Bandmaster Deluxe we had at my high school station. God, that thing was evil to use. Use on 10 meters or 15 meters or 6 or 2 meters. Yes, it was all one transmitter. It was great. It was a lot of fun. I remember putting it on 2 meters. That was great. Anyway, lights blinked in the classrooms adjacent to our radio club room. Even though the antenna was several floors above and insulated by steel and concrete on many levels. But we seemed to have enough stray RF around there for everybody.
to blink the lights in the adjacent rooms, even at, you know, something ridiculous like 20 watts. Alrighty. So I think Don's advice is very good, Noel. Bigger is better. Solid conductor is even better. Remember, it's DC, so the more cross-sectional area you have, the lower the resistance is going to be.
Solid wire is probably not so good in the mobile environment where thousands are out doing the work hardening of the copper, at which point it can brittle and break. That's why I've never used solid in the mobile environment. And who are you?
If it's a static, the static placement is mounted on a substrate and it's not going to move, you'll be fine. You want to use flexible tails, but that's a whole other matter. Anybody else have any comments?
I have a comment, K2Zeta.
Jim?
Okay. Yes, they ran out there. I had a couple of comments reference your question on the antenna tuner. Noel, why don't you take, you've got 24 volts, you've got two batteries in series. Why put the 24 to 12 volt converter right there? Put the 24 to 12 volt converter back at the radio and it'll solve all the problems.
That would be true if I was operating in the toilet, so to speak, most of the time. However, my main operating position would be at the kitchen table, which I would be sitting on the converter at that time.
What's the matter with that?
Nothing. Most of the time I'll be sitting on the converter. It'll be the seat that I'm sitting on. The batteries are underneath that. The converter is down there. And the kitchen table is there, so my lead will be 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, whatever it takes to go from the kitchen table down underneath. So that's not a problem. The problem is when I'm when the XYL is trying to sleep and I have to work someplace where she doesn't hear me talking into her ear. So that way I can close the bathroom door and have a environment away from the XYL so she doesn't stick the dogs on me. That's the problem where I'm going to be, well, when you get there Saturday, you can look at it during your break time. Of course, you want to use the toilet, and you can see how I'm going to have to run it. And to OEM.
You run the toilet? No, never mind, I couldn't resist that. All right. So, Noel, let me ask a question. Is that door at that proximity in that structure going to be sufficient such that your wife will actually be able to sleep while you operate? I mean, I'm assuming you're going to run headphones, but the second you open your mouth, you know, and you get excited, you're going to go, you know, Jarzad, Jarzad! Her voice is going up and, you know, your wife's going to sit there and go, not Jarzad, it's Noel, you're dead if you don't shut up. That's my concern, over.
Well, there's two things. I normally come low when I'm on the radio. The other thing is I found that if I turn up the hearing aid, the more I turn up the hearing aid, the quieter I talk. The reason is, because everything's so loud. And you'll see the door. It's actually rather substantial. I figure a little bit of weather stripping, I'll bring the sound down, 15 dB between the room that I'm in and where she's sleeping. And also, I'll probably stop by Home Depot and buy her a nice little bag of earplugs.
Somebody else?
W2JEK. That's one reason I like to use CW here in the shack sometimes. For that reason. Also, if you're doing a lot, if you're doing contest operating, think of a voice keyer that would you could program it for your contest exchange. You probably would only have to give the call sign of the station you were actually contacting. That would eliminate a lot of the calling CQ and whatnot. It would they disturb it. As I know, my wife doesn't like to hear Whiskey 2, Japan Echo, Kilowatt 400 times. Back to that, W2JK.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm not so sure mine would be happy about hearing W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. Anyway, I can tell you what TTT would stand for if I did that in a disturbing mode, but I can't say it on the air. I'll just say the first two would be tying two. And anyway, on that note, anybody else? All right. I hope everybody's off the floor with the laughter there. All right. Noel, you have any other questions?
No, but hopefully I'll get it up there Saturday morning. Picking it up at Demarest, which means I could probably need a ride there, so that everybody can look at the, give me advice, think about it during the course of the weekend. Look at it and think about it. I want two operating positions, one on the kitchen table, one in the toilet, and two OEM.
Comment?
Comment, go.
Hi, it's KO2, okay. Noel, you're planning leaving the van up there Saturday overnight into Sunday through the day?
Tony intends to use it as an operating position.
Yeah? I just want to make sure you don't plan to bring it home on Saturday night.
Well, there might be some complaints if I was dragging the coaxial cable and the generator cord.
People love to answer questions directly. Just making sure, Noel, because we've had that before.
No, I intend to leave it up there. The only question is, who's going to drive it home Sunday, since I have to be at work at 12:30 Sunday. 12:30, you know, 30 minutes afternoon.
I'm sure we can find a way.
I can't wait to see you on the weekend and ask you who the heck that was who wanted their vehicle home. No, on mine stayed till Monday once in order to make sure we had operations. Nice and neat. Or was it late Sunday night? Anyway, it was late Sunday night at least. Alrighty. Any others? The one nugget out of this thing was that a particular thank you, Bennett, for that. By the way, it's K0 Bravo Golf's website. It's k0bravogolf.com, I think. Very good website. Just Google it, you'll find it, or go to look him up on QRZ. He's got a reference on his website, on his QRZ site. Alrighty. Noel, any more from you before we move to Stuart?
No, I think I'm going to sleep at 2 OEL.
After that, can James call you on the phone?
Yes, up until 11 o'clock.
On the house phone or the cell phone?
House phone, I turned off the cell phone.
All right. He'll probably call you right after we secure here. All righty. KC2SQP. Stuart, welcome aboard. Your question, sir. I think Stuart went bye-bye. Anybody else? Well, I just finished my ice cream. Life is good. I want to thank everybody. It's been a really good net tonight. A really good turnout, too, by the way. Just over a dozen stations, which is great. And a lot of fun. Now, I happen to know WHOEPI listens to this net, as he told me. He doesn't check in, but he listens from his perch in Morris County. And he, he listens on D-Star as well, for whatever reason. Anyway, so I just want to thank everybody. It was a great turnout. And Harvey WS2Q just showed up from Morris County on D-Star. He's probably using a DVAP, which is a USB-based little 10-milliwatt D-Star base station on 2 meters, and his Andy talking is probably how he's accessing, although he does have an ability to go on the radio and also capability, I mean, to a remote repeater, as well as to use a DB dongle, which he has. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for their participation tonight. There were 14 of us tonight, which is really, really good. So, anyway, you take care and have a great night, and we'll see you on the weekend for the contest at some point. David, I'm going to probably shoot you an email. Actually, you have my cell phone number at your leisure tomorrow. If you would give me a call, I'd appreciate it. Just so that we can coordinate, and I have your cell phone number, because I don't think I have it. So you have it in the bottom of my email, any of my emails. So give me a jingle if you would. Let's coordinate on the overnight stuff. So anyway, I want to thank everybody and take care and have a great evening. And I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. And like that there. You might see me at coffee tomorrow. Because I have a... maybe not. We'll see. So, this is W2TTT for Bravo, K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo, the station of Bergen Amateur Association, signing clear and saying 73. Godspeed all.